I'm actually going to keep my remarks short so the other panelists have more time and so we can stay on schedule. And what I'm going to talk to you is give you the lay of the land a little bit and where I think we're really at in this upcoming election based on polling data that is probably not based on a true model, but let's accept it for what it is at this point. I don't believe it's being given to us to try and manipulate the election or twist anything or play any games. I know an awful lot of pollsters, and they need to have a model that they're going to use for turnout. And historically, they always take in a presidential race the previous presidential race. And that's the 2008 election. Everybody knows, and every pollster will admit, was an anomaly, and the voter turnout levels for who turned out and why are probably never going to apply again. But they're using that model because there's no other model that you can really use. All you can do is speculate. And so they're using what's known as a historical real model. That model shows about a 7% differential in Democratic Party turnout versus historical norms. And I don't believe that's going to happen again, mainly because if you take a look at 2010's election and saw what happened there, which totally reversed everything that happened in 2008 for turnout, basically. I think that's more of a closer model, even though it wasn't a presidential election, than you're going to see in 2012. Let's be realistic about it. Not a whole lot has changed in Obama's direction since 2010's election. And to be fair about it, does anybody here in the room know anybody that voted for John McCain that is now going to vote for Barack Obama? No. But you probably all know a lot of people who voted for Barack Obama who either are not going to vote for him again or they're not going to turn out to vote. And that's precisely why the 2008 model in polling probably doesn't work. But for argument's sake, let's accept a 2008 polling model. And how does it apply to us if the election were held today? If the election were held today, Obama would win by 33 electoral votes. Not a blowout, fairly pretty close, but he'd win by 33. United States Senate, the Republicans would pick up one seat. So let's view this probably as worst case scenarios. While the Republicans would pick up one seat, gun owners will probably pick up two seats because Senator Lugar in Indiana never voted our way. And Senator, hopefully future Senator Richard Murdoch, is an extremely good friend of gun rights. If we look at the House of Representatives, the Democrats, again, my feeling is worst case scenario, would pick up seven seats, which is far from giving them control of the House. So we would still have a pro-gun majority in the House. Governors, the Republicans would pick up two seats. And that's a worst case scenario. So by and large, at a worst case scenario, Obama's back in the White House, Republicans and gun owners still control the House, and the Senate is a little bit better for us than it was. And we have more governors on our side than we had before. Gun owners in this election, on the worst case scenario, in my opinion, can't lose. But it could be a whole lot better, and if the model is so as wrong as I think it is, we're going to see a significant increase and maybe able to have control of the United States Senate and maybe not lose any seats at all in the House and maybe pick up a few and maybe pick up a few more governors than two. And so that's where I think we're really at for real today. And I'm going to stop there because I'm going to let the other two speakers take up the time because they have some very interesting things to talk to you about.
My name is Stephanie Scruggs. I'm the national co-chair of the 912 Project and the chairman of Unite in Action. I wear two different hats. One's political and one just yells a lot. Well, I actually yell a lot either way because frankly, I'm really upset about what's going on in our country. And this is the most important election of our lifetime. Of our parents' lifetime, of our grandparents' lifetime. And it's not just the presidency. We must hold the House, and we have to take the Senate. We have no other choice, or America, as we know it, is over. That sounds like hyperbole and rhetoric. It sounds crazy, but you know in your heart it is true. We have to rein in an executive branch that is drunk on power, and it is rapidly replacing our republic, our free republic, with outright tyranny. Our rights are being stripped every single day. The five planks of the First Amendment are largely gone. Freedom of religion, that's all gone with HHS. That wasn't about birth control. That was about telling your church what it can preach. Freedom of speech, that's gone too. And it's getting worse. Hate speech, anyone? Can't say what you think anymore. You can get a ticket for it in some places. Freedom of assembly, the ability to redress our grievances. All these things are washing away. And freedom of the press, those guys that are supposed to be the fourth estate, that watchdog that is supposed to hold government accountable, they've been taken over. You know it, I know it, so does the previous speaker. What else do we have? We're losing the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure. The Tenth Amendment, states' rights. Look how the federal government has encroached on those. And the most important amendment at all, in my opinion, the Ninth Amendment, is your individual sovereignty. And that, too, is being taken away. And now the other most important amendment, the Second Amendment, the one that gives you the ability to protect every other right, is going away. All of our rights are being chipped away, and we are at great, great risk. We have got to get off the couch. We've got to work really hard to win this election. On all levels. On the local level, on the state level, taking the House, taking the Senate, and winning the presidency. The stakes are simply too high not to. We can't sit back and hope somebody else is going to do the hard work for us. Contact your local party. Contact and work for your candidates. Walk your precincts. Do phone banking. Give money if you can, but if you can't give money, get off your butts and get out there and work. It takes really hard work to preserve liberty. And that's not just in an election year. I know we all have lives. I've got two little kids at home. I miss them. I've missed soccer games. I've missed birthday parties with their friends. I miss my kids every time I'm on the road. But you know what I'll miss more? Their freedom. I will not sit back and allow my children to become slaves, and you shouldn't either. Your children, your grandchildren, stand up and protect their rights and their freedom, and you do that by getting involved in this election and every single day thereafter. Because here's the fact. November 6th does not fix everything. We are a nation in extreme crisis, both economically as well as socially. We've got a lot of work to do, and it's going to take all of us to pull through this. We can never again be the silent majority. We've got to speak out every day about freedom, about liberty, about our rights. Talk to your friends and neighbors, you know, the ones that you think you might offend. Talk to them anyway. Talk to the guy at the grocery store. You know, Grandma told you not to talk about religion and politics. Well, the hell with that, because time is too short. Talk about religion. Talk about politics. Talk about what is at stake in this country. Talk about the fact that if you don't talk, we will be slaves. And that's not good enough for me, and it better not be good enough for you. We must be vigilant. If you mean to cling to your Bibles and your guns like I do, how many of y'all mean to do that? Amen, I like this crowd. If you mean to do that, we have to stay engaged. We've got to work for it. We've got to be vigilant. We can never, ever stop. Don't go back to sleep. The choice is yours. There's a choice of liberty and a choice of tyranny. Do you want your country back? That was kind of quiet. Seriously? Come on now. Do you want your country back? Yeah. Do you want liberty back? Yeah. Will you work for it every day of your life? Yeah. Let's get out there and save America. Thank you.
Wow. How do I follow that? She's prettier than I am, too. My name is Kirby Wilber, by the way. I'm on the board of directors of Second Amendment Foundation. I thank you all for coming. It's our pleasure to throw this conference and talk with you about these issues and try and inform you and educate you and arm you with what you need to go out there and preserve our precious God-given right to keep and bear arms. It doesn't come from the federal government. It comes from God, our Creator, and our Constitution protects it. I've known Alan for 40 years. He was 4, I was 3 when we first got together, and we've been fighting for these rights. And I am the Republican Party chairman of the Washington State, but I'm a Republican because I'm a conservative. I believe in my Constitution, I believe in my God, and I believe in my guns. And I cling to all three. And I shoot 45 because I intend the first shot to be the last shot. Now that wimpy 9mm stuff for me. Anyway, let me talk to you about the election. And I would agree with Stephanie, it's the most important election of our lifetime, and I think it's one of the most important elections in the history of this nation. 1980, perhaps as important. 1860, perhaps as important. But it's up there because the American dream is at stake. For how long has it been the idea that we in America sacrifice so our kids have a better life? My mother's parents came from Poland. They brought her here from Poland for a better life. And she had a better life than her parents had in Poland. She worked very hard her entire life to make sure that I had a better life. And I have a great life. I cannot complain about my life whatsoever. I have a great job. I have great kids. I have a great wife. I have a great house. I'm the first of my family to go to college. And I want my kids to have every opportunity and liberty and privilege I had. And that's disappearing because we elected a man who promised to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And I don't want to transform this country. I want to restore it. And there's a fundamental difference in those two words. I want to go back to the founder's dream and the American dream that we are a land of liberty, that we are, as one famous author wrote, the only nation in the history of the world written and founded on a good idea. Think about that. America was founded on an idea contained within the Declaration of Independence that very simply says that all men are created equal, created by our Creator, who then gives us our rights, not the king, not the government, not the people, but our Creator. Gives us our individual rights, the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that government's purpose is to protect those rights, and government gets its power from the people. And as Stephanie so eloquently pointed out, we're losing that. And with that goes the American dream. Millions have come to this country, and millions have risked everything to come to this country to enjoy liberty and freedom. And that's dying before us. Oh, but the polls. Oh, the polls. What do we do about the polls? You know what we do about the polls? We win the damn election. That's what we do. All right? You want to talk about skewered polls? I don't care. Every one of you in this room knows someone who's not registered to vote. Every one of this room knows someone who doesn't want to vote. Every one in this room knows somebody who is malleable, who can be talked to. We have a slogan in our state. We're working in a state party. Everyone, find one. That's all it takes. Every one of you find one person who's not registered and register them next week. Everyone who finds someone who doesn't think it's worth voting, explain why it is. Everyone find one of your friends, if you have any, who are going to vote for the other guy and explain why they shouldn't do that. Everyone find one. That's all you have to do. And then hope they find one. And then find another. Stephanie's right. This is not the time to be polite. You have to talk about these things. There's so much at stake. You have to take a chance. If you're an employer, have you explained to your employees what Obamacare is going to do to their health care? Have you explained how Obama and his taxes and regulations prevent you from expanding, giving them a raise? Have you talked to your kids? Have you talked to folks at church? Especially if you're Catholic? The attack on the Catholic Church, and I'm not Catholic, I'm Lutheran, but the attack on the Catholic Church is so blatant. Finally, the bishops, after years of supporting liberals and Democrats, have woken up. Maybe. I hope the flocks waken. My friends, this is important, but the polls mean nothing. What matters is what you do. Every one of you right now, you look to your right and look to your left, and in this room are the people that can save this country. It's us. There's going to be two possible headlines on Wednesday morning, November 7th, for those of us who are still alive, and assume we all will be, that when we wake up, we're going to see two things. Obama reelected. Democrats sweep. And if you think it's been bad for 4 years, Wait till he gets reelected and he can say, oh, the people support what I want. Or Obama defeated Republican sweep, change coming. Is that the headline you want to see? Well, let me tell you something, my friends. I want you right now to look down at your hands, because your hands are going to be the ones that write that headline. It's not going to be written by some highly paid consultant. It's not going to be written by some copy editor for the AP. It's going to be written by you and what you choose to do over the next 38 days. This is our time. This is our responsibility. This is our task. This is our duty. Ours and no one else. Abraham Lincoln, I know I'm below the Mason-Dixon line, but Abraham Lincoln is my favorite president of the 19th century. And in the summer of 1864, he thought he was going to lose the election. The war was going badly. Casualties were mounting. The war that was going to last 3 weeks had lasted 3 years. The Democrats were screaming for peace at any price, appeasement. Blacks aren't worth fighting for. Stop the war. They never learned. They still make those arguments today. They never learned. And Lincoln was depressed, and so he would go out and meet with soldiers. He would meet with those soldiers who had volunteered to fight in the Union Army, because he loved the Army. He loved that very creature he had to send out to die. He loved that these young men would come from all over the northern states to fight to preserve the Union and end slavery. And Washington was a rail hub, because so much of the fighting took place in Virginia, my native state. 60% of the Civil War took place there. And so they would come through Washington on the way home. He would meet with those who still went home, survived. On August 28, 1864, he said this to a group of men from Ohio, in 164th Ohio. He said, gentlemen, very few understand what this war is about. This war is about whether your children or my children shall enjoy the very same liberties and privileges that we have enjoyed as Americans. Now think about that for a minute. What is this election about if not whether our children shall enjoy the very same liberties and privileges we have? One day your kids will come and ask you what you did, what you found so important. I sympathize with Stephanie. I've missed my share of soccer games and birthdays and celebrations with the kids, but they understand that I was fighting for them, because this isn't about me, isn't about titles, isn't about all the money I make, which isn't much. It isn't about glory. It's about handing off to my kids the country my mother handed off to me. He said one other thing when he talked to these troops. He ended by saying, this country is worth fighting for. It still is. It's our duty. It's our time. It's our task. Let's go win. Thank you.
Thank both of you. You were both really great. And I just want to assure the audience, they didn't borrow Obama's teleprompter. Thank you.